We will come to a text 10 of the 21st chapter of the 10th canto. There's a very nice verse. Vrindavanam sakhi bhavo vitano dikirtim yadevaki suta padam bujalapta lakshmi govinda venam anumatta mayura nitrayam prakshyatrisanva varatanya samasta satvam. One gopi says to another gopi, O friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. So, this verse is spoken by the gopis who stay at home and hear from the distance Krishna's transcendental flute play. And because they meditate intensely about Lord Krishna, when they hear the flute play of Lord Krishna, they somehow see what is happening in Vrindavan almost as if transmuted to them by spiritual television. They see Krishna standing there, and the peacocks who see him begin to dance madly around him in a big circle which moves around him. Krishna in the beginning is watching the peacocks, but then he puts his flute to the away for a moment and starts to dance on also. It is the peacock who is Krishna's dancing master, because he knows the art of dancing best. He dances very rhythmically. Sita, will you be doing this the whole lecture? No. Why not? Hare Krishna. Shalom say, yes. Thank you, no problem. So, the gopis have made a point. That is, that Vrindavan is glorifying the earth. Let us concentrate a little bit on this point. Why is Vrindavan glorifying the earth? And let us also meditate a little bit about the position of the earth. It is described that within this universe, planet Earth has the most important function. Why? Because on this planet we can easily understand that material existence is miserable, Hare Krishna, but the misery is not too harsh, not too hard, so that we can at the same time perform spiritual activities for our betterment. See, there are many, many life forms and situations in this universe where people cannot engage in any spiritual activity because the misery is just too hard. For instance, on the hellish planets, there's no time to sit down for japa. You are always poked and pierced and boiled and cooked and whatever. The misery is just too intense. We find this even in sometimes in our let us say on planet Earth, that people seem to be there who are suffering so much that there is no hope for them to engage in spiritual life because they are simply too diverted. So in Earth planet, suffering and happiness are somewhat balanced. You can understand that this material life is not meant for enjoyment, but you have enough freedom still to engage in spiritual activity. Earth is especially glorified in the scriptures because on Earth there is one pious spot. It is called Punya Bhumi. It's the country of India. When you are in India, you can easily understand why India is glorified. Everywhere you find a temple and the sounds of bells. And I remember one morning Madhva Muni and Kishori and others, we went to Rimuna. Do you remember? And we stopped at a rest stop. And a man came out, it was a rest stop, and he watered Tulasi. Do you remember? Rest stop means Gaststätte. No, what is it? Autobahn. Yes. So I was very much amazed. And then we listened to the music which they played. It was some Hare Krishna mantra. I immediately purchased that cassette because it was very nice, and I never heard it again because on second hearing I thought, well, there are other cassettes which are also nice. I remember India, everywhere there is a Shiva Lingam. People, even the street sweepers, understand they are eternal. It is amazing. It is really amazing, the place. So India is special because in India you find Vrindavan. Vrindavan, the place where Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago to perform his loving pastimes as an example and demonstration for the conditioned souls, where they belong to, what is their home, what is their goal in life. And Vrindavan is special because of the love of the gopis and the gopas, which is very, very amazing, the way they relate to Lord Krishna. Now, Vrindavan has its name from Brinda Devi, who appears in this world at the sacred Tulasi plant. Brinda Devi is giving Vrindavan the name. She is you could say, like a goddess who keeps the forest of Vrindavan like a beautiful garden for the play for the play of Radha and Krishna. She goes around with her helpers and waters the trees and the plants, different malati creepers who are surrounding the trees, and she takes care of different needs. She has her storehouses in Vrindavan, where there is honey and different clothings and different instruments. So when the divine couple require something of that for their leelas, Brinda Devi can supply. There are many, many storehouses of Brinda Devi. She has also many different divisions of parrots who fly over Vrindavan giving news back and forth. She has like a whole news net, telecom or whatever you call it. The gopis now, they know that Krishna has entered the forest of Vrindavan. Every morning, all of Vrindavan, the Vrijabasis, come at the entrance of the Vrindavan village, and they See how Krishna comes through the streets with his cowherd friends and cowherd boys to go herding the cows in the forest. Some gopis are not allowed to come out of the house to see Krishna because their mothers think, oh, they are so too young to see the transcendental Cupid, to see the Lord of Krishna. They stay inside the house and they just pray, Krishna, we want to see you. So Krishna sometimes, when he passes the house of such a young gopi who has to stay inside, he knows that the gopi wants to see him, so he twicks one of the calves in the tail, and the calf comes running to the house where the gopi is inside, and Krishna runs behind the calf, pretending he has to hunt the calf, and in this way comes just before a little nook in the wall. You know, a little Indian houses are not always totally firm, so there's a little, you know, how do you call this? Correct, yes. And the gopi then sees all of a sudden Krishna's face right before her and is, oh, Krishna. So Krishna then moves outside of the village of Vrindavan, and his mother has great difficulties to say goodbye to him. She's so worried. My dear Gopal, what will happen? The forest paths are so stony and there are so many thorns. Can you... you will hurt yourself. And then Krishna says, no, there are many deers. With their tails, they sweep the forest paths so that there are no thorns. In the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas we hear also that the thorns do not create a serious threat for Krishna, because out of service for Krishna they become like gummy, very soft, and the stones, the sharp stones become like butter when they come in touch with Krishna's feet, so there is no problem. So Krishna goes out of the village of Vrindavan, there is a meditation, how the gopis meditate about Lord Krishna as he leaves Vrindavan. And we will read it for you. The gopis would meditate on Krishna, dressing himself just like a dancing actor, and entering the forest of Vrindavan, marking the ground with his footprints. They meditated on Krishna, having a helmet with a peacock feather, and wearing earrings on his ears, and yellow gold-colored garments. And how Krishna was covered with jewels and pearls. They also meditated on Krishna blowing his flute like that, and on all the cowherd boys singing of the glories of the Lord. Yes. So this is the scene. Krishna leaves the village of Vrindavan. How is he dressed? Like a dancing actor. I don't know, have you ever danced for, dressed for dancing? I have never done this, but I can imagine if one day I would dance for, dress for dancing. You know, it's important. There are many loose cloths so that you can really swirl around. And it should be very colorful. We hear that Krishna has a yellow gold color dhoti, some of you said. And then he has an orange shirt sometimes, which gives a very good contrast to the yellow dhoti. Wonderful, isn't it, Kishore? Then he has a turban. Krishna has many different types of turbans. They are usually extremely colorful. Then Krishna has also a cloth. So we can imagine how Krishna, he jumps up and down when he dances like this. Wherever his lotus feet touch the ground, there the ground of Vrindavan serves Lord Krishna's lotus feet by growing lotus flowers. Yup. Imagine the scene. This is something very, very wonderful. You know, he dances and yup, yup. You might say, well, but lotus flowers should grow only in the river. You must know that there are river lotus, water grown lotus flowers, but then there is the Kumuda lotus flower, which is a land lotus. He grows on the land. So please do not doubt the ability of Vrindavan's land. How does Krishna's flute play sound? This is very. Is it more high or more low? The answer is it is mridu. Mridu means sweet and low. It's like this. Soft and deep like thunder. This is how Krishna's flute play sounds. Now you might ask the question, but what inspires Krishna to play on his flute? Every musician needs an inspiration. Isn't it, Nikunya? You are our musician. What inspires Krishna to play on his flute? Well, it's the breeze of Vrindavan, which is so heavily laden with the sweet fragrance of flowers that sometimes it is questionable if the breeze can stay in the air or if it will fall on the ground because it's so heavy. With the smell of flowers and so on. Do you like to hear this information? I like it very much. I hope I can make you enthusiastic also to listen to this. Now, how does Krishna look like? Who can give us a description of Krishna? Important. He's like a dark monsoon cloud. Yes. Like the sun is going through because it's full of brilliance. Yes. When we were asking this question in Vrindavan, I remember we were sitting under wonderful trees. And we were just asking, how does Krishna look like? Then all of a sudden, all the devotees jumped up and began to run, because a herd of the most beautiful cows came passing by in the Govardhan Hill. I thought maybe I've asked the wrong question here. But they were running to the Govardhan Hill, to the cows who were coming, because you could almost see Lord Krishna coming and herding the cows. It was so Udipani. Udipan means so stimulating in our Krishna consciousness. And everyone, Burijan Prabhu took photos. He has already taken 50 million photos of cows of Vrindavan. But whenever he sees a cow, he just runs and makes a photo of it because he can't get enough. He is really in ecstasy. So then we had to interrupt our lecture, and everyone looked at the cows because they really looked transcendental. Then we sat down again and continued. He has a peacock feather. He has a mala. Mala means necklace of gunja berries. Gunja berries are Let me see. A little white, and then red, and then black. I have Gunja berries in Karuna Bhavan, so if you visit me, I can show you some. There is a mala which has been made by Srimati Radharani, and usually Krishna can give. Sometimes he gives away his jewels. For instance, his pearls. He often sits at the Yamuna and takes his pearl garland and breaks it and takes the pearls and feeds the swans of Vrindavan. Please do not ask, do they take a digestive to be able to digest it? No, that is, the pearls are somehow easily to be digested by the swans. I don't know if they even need to digest it. Maybe not. Krishna has Tulsi Manjaris around him. He has bracelets, ornaments. Krishna always has a flute. Sometimes when Krishna falls asleep, Srimati Radharani comes and steals his flute, and then a whole pastime happens. Once Krishna was asleep and Radharani came and stole the flute from Krishna's loose hand, which was there. And then Kundalata came, the niece of Krishna, and was very angry with Krishna. Your everything has gone, your flute has gone, and still you sleep? Then Krishna, usually when he stands, he has a threefold bending form. That means he is bent at the feet, at the knees, feet and knees, that's one, like this, then at the hip, and then at the shoulder, he stands like this. And now my question is to you, this is a very difficult question. When Krishna stands like this, is his right foot before the left foot, or the left foot before the right foot? I will tell you. His right foot is before the left foot, because then with his foot he can touch the Zari of Srimati Radharani, who is next to him. Standing there. Hare Krishna. So then Krishna begins to play his magical flute play, and it is here described that different living entities respond differently to Krishna's flute play. Here we find the peacocks described, but there are other animals also. Some of the animals, like the deer, become so ecstatic when they hear Krishna's flute play that the deer fall on the top of each other, clink, 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 so that all over Vrindavan you see these brown mountains. They are the deers who... Wow, Krishna's flute play. Hare Krishna. But the peacock, they think Krishna is a rasa laden, that means rasa means full of transcendental taste, rain cloud, and they think, let's dance. So they surround Krishna in a circle, mistaking him to be a rain cloud, and they think his dhoti is what? Lightning. Yes, lightning. Others become stunned, like we have heard about the deers, and so on. In this way, this verse is explained. But I wanted to ask you, why do the gopis call Krishna Devaki Sutta, this son of Mother Devaki. You must know, in Vrindavan, no one thinks Krishna is the son of anyone else than Yashoda and Nanda. And in fact, we hear in Gopal Champu that when Krishna appeared as Vishnu in the prison of Kamsa to his parents Vasudeva and Devaki, at the same time he appeared as the son of Yashoda. Yashoda had twins. One was Krishna and one was a girl. This we hear from Gopal Champu, from Jiva Goswami. So when Vasudeva came and brought Krishna from Mathura, you know, this Vishnu Krishna, from Mathura to the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw, because he was, after all, it was almost a criminal act, you know, to exchange the children, that you don't do. He was so excited. He was a very sattvic person, and he did not see Krishna. He saw only the girl, because he wanted the girl. So when he put his Vishnu Krishna down, he merged with the Krishna Krishna, which Yashoda had given birth to, and Vasudev could take the girl with him. So in Vrindavan, everyone thinks of Krishna as being the son of Yashoda, not of Devaki. Why do they then call Krishna here Devaki Sutta in Sanskrit, the son of Devaki? Well, there are two reasons. One is the gopis want to say to Krishna Devaki Sutta because the Vishnu Krishna of Devaki is the source of all avatars, and they want to say Krishna is the source of all avatars by calling him Devaki Sutta. And the other Praman from Brahmanda Purana is that Yashoda had two names. One was Yashoda and the other Devaki. She also was called Devaki. So in this way, the gopis call Krishna the son of Mother Yashoda. Yes, so I want to now, after I have explained this much, read the verse again, and I will read it very slow, and as you are hearing the verse, I wish you to stop all other activities, including sleeping, and just hear the verse. And while you hear the verse, you should please think about what I have explained. I want to train all of you a little bit in a very important form of reading. It is called the contemplative reading, where you read, and at the same time, while you read or hear something, you begin to see the different scenes which have been described. This is called seeing through the eyes of the Shastra. How do we call this? Shastra Shakshu. Tomorrow we will distribute some books to you, and then you will form some workshops together, and you will learn a wonderful reading method which I will write down to you on the blackboard. But today we will just exercise this a little bit and open our reading. So please now listen again to the verse. We also will have rapt attention. Beautiful. O friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth. Now you should think, why spreading the glory of the earth? I have explained it, so remember what you have heard. Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth. Having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute. And when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. When you perform the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas, the first step really is to do what we are doing now, to make ourselves familiar with the concepts. And once we have done this, we can enter into this very nice meditations where we can internalize or visualize or see or remember what we have heard, and in this way fill our mind with Krishna thought. Wonderful, isn't it? Now I want to see what is the time, Balaramji, with your wonderful clock. 11 o'clock. I will make now a little pause, and afterwards we will hear about the most amazing clouds of Vrindavan, because they consider themselves friends of Lord Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is active for the welfare of all beings and the clouds also. They are common social welfare workers. They are they have a very interesting way how they relate to Krishna. So we will have 15 minutes now time. Our Boyan was able to keep the time. So after 15 minutes, you please come here. And we will hear about Krishna in the clouds. Yes. What is the signal? We will now move on to the 10th canto, chapter 21, text 16, where we have a description of the different possible relationships to Lord Krishna. We hear how even the clouds in Vrindavan have a relationship to Krishna. Please learn your lesson from the cloud. Drishtva tape vraja pashun saharama gopai sancharayantam anuveno modirayantam prema pravritta udita kusuma valibhir Sakyo vyadatsvava pushambuddha atapatram. In the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, Lord Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Braj, even under the full heat of the summer sun. Seeing this, the cloud in the sky has expanded himself out of Lubov. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body, with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water, an umbrella for the sake of his friends. This verse comes after a general glorification of Vrindavan. That means the forests of Vrindavan had been glorified, and we have heard some of the reason why Vrindavan is glorified. and Giri Govardhan Hill has become glorified. And now, after a general glorification, specific life forms in Vrindavan are singled out in order of increasing importance. That means it starts with a cloud. Who is, after all, a cloud? It goes then to the rivers and so on, and to the different, even insects of bees and so on are glorified. Now, we first hear of the cloud because the cloud is actually an outsider. The clouds have come from outside of Vrindavan, from the ocean. They are foreigners. They are pilgrims from a different country. They have come to Vrindavan, but because in Vrindavan they have obtained a touch, the darshan of Lord Krishna, they also have become special. Just like we are foreigners, when we come to Vrindavan, we come from Croatia and Serbia and Montenegro and so on. We are foreigners, but because of the touch of Lord Krishna, even a foreigner can become special. And it's interesting, when the winds start to blow and start to move the clouds outside of Vrindavan, they don't want to go. They will stay in Vrindavan. They have become attached to Lord Krishna. How can they leave now? So, now the gopis have looked up in the sky, and they have seen one particular cloud which has captured their attention, and they observe this cloud now, what it does when it meets Lord Krishna. This cloud is a very special cloud. It has watched how Krishna and Balaram herded their countless cows and buffaloes and other animals. And the way Krishna and Balaram herd their cows is by constantly playing nice melodies on the flute. The cows are hearing the flute music of the Lord, and this music directs them to go here, there, and everywhere. Now, this particular cloud was very devotional because it understood that Krishna had played flute all this time, and now the summer was the summer sun was shining very strongly, and the cloud thought, well, Krishna must be getting tired now. This is a very devotional thought, which also pujaris have since time immemorial. See, Krishna, you can see there on the altar, always has his arms in the flute playing position. So the pujaris will put a stab there with a, it's almost like a crutch, so that Krishna can rest his flute arm for some time. This is the reason why this stab is there. So this cloud also felt, Krishna is playing all this time flute. He must be getting tired now. Let me do some service. And the cloud therefore rose high in the sky. It expanded its cloud body to make an umbrella and shaded the area above Krishna. Now Krishna continued to play on his flute because he felt inspired by the service of the cloud. You can see a relationship is developing. The cloud was so inspired that he rumbled with very soft thunder to not disturb the flute play with aggressive loud thunder. It went like this, which made almost like the bass for Krishna's flute play. In this way, both of them made music. His cloud voice was choking with ecstasy. So when Krishna saw, "Oh my friend, the cloud is helping with shade and rumbling," he felt more inspired by the offering and encouraged the cows, "Please take more grass." Krishna spoke in a deep and sweet voice to the cows and calves. And the cloud watched this and became more ecstatic. He swelled up and saw Krishna as the natural friend of both the cows. And he had a feeling of, "This is my colleague. I want to help the people by giving water, and Krishna, look at him, he is helping the cows and the calves. We are both welfare workers." And in this way, the cow began to cry tears of ecstasy. Water drops came down. It's also described that sometimes the clouds are so ecstatic that instead of water drops, they throw flowers down. This is possible for the clouds in Vrindavan. It is not impossible. And there's a description in the Govinda Lilamrita about the monsoon forest sometimes when Krishna passes through the six seasonal forests. Do you know what are the seasonal forests? There are these forests in Vrindavan which have the specific beauties of each season. For instance, there is the winter forest. It is quite cool in the winter forest. And before Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends and also sometimes the gopis enter this winter forest, Brinda Devi comes and gives them winter clothes. "Please, it is a little cold. Please dress in warm blankets." Then there is another forest, which is the autumn forest. What this forest has in particular is that there are so many fruits which grow in the autumn season, which are all available in this forest. So Krishna goes with the gopis around the autumn forest and eats the fruits which are available there. Then there is a spring forest, and in the spring forest, Krishna finds containers full of the pollen of flowers so that they can throw each other with colored powder, as it is done in the spring season. Wonderful. And there is what I wanted to talk about. Let me not get carried away. The monsoon forest. In this forest, you will find goddesses in the sky who shower flowers on Krishna, and also monsoon clouds which rain down. Now, when the rain of the monsoon cloud collides with the flowers, the flowers become transformed in honey drops that look like pearls. And these honey drops fall upon the bodies of the gopis. These honey drops made friendships with the pearls which the gopis carry. Some friendly relationship. "We are here, we have just fallen down. How are you?" They are making friendship. So in this way, you can see how everything in Vrindavan is really serving Lord Krishna in a conscious way. So the cloud knows how to serve Krishna very nicely, because the cloud has one very particular strong lesson for us. It does not serve Krishna alone, but it serves also whom? Krishna's friends and the cows. If you want to serve Lord Krishna, you should learn to serve Krishna's friends and the cows. Or, let us put it more particular into our situation, if you wish to serve Lord Krishna, you must serve the Vaishnavas. Dionysus, if you don't serve the Vaishnavas, your service of Krishna is a witz. Yes. This is my new word, which I have learned in Zagreb from Stavavali, my translator. I will now say it as often as possible. There's a verse in the Skanda Purana which says, those who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead may serve him or not, may satisfy him, maybe they don't satisfy him, it is not sure. But those who serve the devotees of Krishna, they satisfy Krishna for sure. Wonderful, isn't it? If you think about it, the service must go through the devotees of Lord Krishna. You must find devotees of Lord Krishna and serve them. What are nice services for devotees of Lord Krishna? Well, we can give them gifts in kind, like for instance dhotis and kurtas, or our matajis can serve the other matajis by giving them fascinating saris with interesting designs on top of them. A very good present for a devotee is always tilak, a piece of tilak, which is especially of the round kind. There is these, you know, which are not really the custom-made tilak, which the businessmen are selling in Lohi Bazaar, but these round balls, which are very softly ground and make a very nice tilak. That is a very good gift also to devotees. An excellent gift to devotees is books, which they have not yet read. But when you want to serve devotees, you can also wash their clothes. This is and iron their clothes. You can satisfy a devotee very much if you say, here is your freshly washed dhoti and it is ironed, or your freshly washed ironed sari. I have brilliantly ironed the sari, and now it is for you to wear and dance in ecstasy in the kirtan. This is a very nice service for devotees. But it is described by Jiva Goswami, a wonderful service for devotees is also kindness, to offer kind support to devotees. This is what devotees, I feel, need most. This is my service to the devotees. I'm sitting the whole day in my room, and whenever someone comes, I know I need to encourage the devotee. Sometimes also encourage the devotee very strongly. It is very necessary that everyone runs on this kindness in a devotee association. Jiva Goswami makes this particular point. It's, I think, very relevant. To show kindness to a devotee is a service to the devotee. He will appreciate it very much and very, very nicely. It's really getting warm. This means spring is trying to come into this area. It's a nice time to walk again. Yes, so the cloud, somehow, by his expert understanding of devotional conclusions, makes an umbrella and begins to rain down tears of ecstasy to cool Lord Krishna off, and so on. He feels very collegial with Krishna, because he sees how Krishna encourages the cows to eat more, and he feels very, wow, we are both social welfare workers, and this way expands in great ecstasy. becomes really big, and so on. The gopis think, oh, the cloud is such a better devotee than we are. We have to stay at home in the noontime. We can never serve Krishna in the noontime, but the cloud serves Krishna in the noontime. It is clear, as Maharaj Parikshit talks these verses, and he repeats them, Shukadev Goswami has first taught them, he gets into the individual ecstatic moods of the devotees he is talking about. This was the cloud. Yeah, we will hear soon more about devotees, but I want to now request you to put down everything, pens and papers, and put down your sleepiness as well, if it is still with you. And we will now hear the verse again, which will give us some happiness. Huh? In the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, Lord Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Braj, even under the full heat of the summer sun. Seeing this, the cloud in the sky has expanded himself out of love. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body, with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water, an umbrella for the sake of his friend. Wonderful. Do you see how nice it is to think like this about Lord Krishna? Mahaprabhu is feeling already the cloud over him, so that there is a nice shade and it's becoming a little cool. Mahaprabhu is entering the ecstasy of Krishna Samadhi. I want to congratulate you. Let us now Yeah. Oh, this is very, very. Do you want to hear what the trees do and the creepers?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Oh, this is very, very deep. When I worked on these verses, these are my notes. I became so ecstatic that sometimes I changed the pens, blue and then black and then white and so on. I began to make notes as if I would have 1,000 hands at once. I was so ecstatic. So the next description which you hear is about the rivers who, when they hear the flute song of Lord Krishna, they develop whirlpools. This is when a person falls in love, his emotions go around. So they develop whirlpools and their flow begins to break. They can't move on. But sometimes we even see that the rivers flow backward. Why? Because they want to go where Krishna is, and with their waves they wish to embrace the feet, the dancing feet of Lord Govinda. Now, as they start to embrace Lord Krishna, that means as the waves start moving towards Krishna, they become so ecstatic that they think, we should also bring something for our Lord. We should not come empty-handed. It should not be an empty-handed embrace. We should present something for him. And they begin to take the lotus flowers out of the riverbed and with their arms, with their waves, which are like arms and hands, they offer the lotus flowers before Krishna's lotus feet. They also take out the jewels which are in the riverbank, and they bring the jewels forth and strew the jewels before Lord Krishna's lotus feet. This is how the rivers of Vrindavan please Lord Krishna. But we will not hear about these rivers because it would be an whole hour to explain about the rivers. We will now go to the trees and the creepers. Have you ever seen a tree with creepers? I'm just wondering if we have some nice Vrindavan paintings here. I think I have in my Samsonite. Samsonite, yes. Please bring the Samsonite. Oops. Krishna. Gaurahari has a very special way of speaking. Once he said, "Where is the Andy?" And I said, "Andy? Who's Andy?" He meant handy. He never speaks the H. "There's nothing to eat," once he said, and he meant there's nothing to heat. So now comes the Samsonite. You have won our hearts, Gaurahari, by your very nice language, which is a Vrindavan language. I want to show you how the trees in Vrindavan look. Yes. I don't know how good you can see. This is a beautiful painting of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and the trees have these very fine flowers over them. Can you see them? And that means that the trees have they are called creepers. Creepers like Schlingpflanzen, sagt man. How do we say in Pusavitsa? The Pusavitsa. Yes. So with different flowers, the Pusavitsas with different flowers. So, very good. photo. I can show you in private, but not so public. My photos are so special. Pusavitsa. So the Pusavitsa are usually considered female, while the trees are considered male. The Pusavitsas are the wives of the trees, usually. Yes? You must know this Vrindavan language to understand what the ecstatic emotions which the gopis have now.
Vana latastarava atmani vishnum vyaja yajantya iva pushpa paladhyaha pranatabara vitapa madudara prema hrishta tanavo vavishusma.
When the cows wander unto the mountain sides, and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute, the creepers and trees in the forest respond by becoming so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. As their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of the ecstasy of love of God, and both the trees and the creepers pour down a rain of sweet juice.
So, you must know that the creepers and the trees are more fortunate than the clouds and rivers because they have consciousness. So they are higher placed on the scale of devotees who get the mercy of Lord Krishna in the form of his flute song. At the same time, you must know that in Vrindavan, we cannot say that anything or anyone is not conscious. In fact, in Vrindavan, everything is full of consciousness. Bhakti Charu Maharaj once told about the cushion which is supporting Lord Krishna's head when he rests. This cushion is beginning to feel a transcendental eagerness. I'm only supporting the head. I never get the dust from the feet of Lord Krishna. This is very bad. And then the cushion decides to make a pilgrimage. He goes from the head around Lord Krishna's body and goes to the lotus feet of Krishna so that he can get the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, Aida looks at this cushion and tries to somehow understand this. How can a cushion walk, Aida? In this world, it is not possible. But because the cushion has no consciousness and therefore no desire and no sense of direction and so on. But in Vrindavan, everything is made out of, it's called Vishuddha Sattva. That is the spiritual energy which is moving there, and everyone and everything is full of consciousness. Now, here we find the description of the creepers and the trees. They are standing in the forest, and Krishna is on the side of the mountains playing with his flute and herding the cows. It's an extremely peaceful scene. You can ask Siyama Priya and Radha Kripa. You remember when these cows were walking near the Govardhan Hill? It was so peaceful and so transcendental. Did you remember?
Oh, Radha Kripa starts to cry when she remembers it. It is so good. You all, I want to invite all of you. We should rent one cheap airplane which leaves from Sarajevo, and we fill it up with the happy Vaishnavas of Serbia and Bosnia, and then we all fly to Vrindavan to this wonderful seminar. We always have it at the side of the Govardhan Hill. There is simply no better place in the universe. We sit directly on the floor of Vrindavan, and we don't have any apartments or so. We stay under the shade of the trees the whole day. Now, don't worry. In the evening and in the noontime, we have our rooms with showers. And everything is there. Good prasadam also. We have this one cook of Dhammakrishna Maharaj. Gopal Raj is his name. And he cooks like anything for the devotees. But during the day, we are out under the shade of the trees. Like you should be in Vrindavan. We sit, some of us sit on the dust of Vrindavan. They don't even want to sit on a blanket. Some of us feel this is better to sit directly in the dust of Vrindavan. But you can sit in the blanket also, no problem. And in this way we are enjoying the spiritual atmosphere of the So Krishna is out on the hill, playing on his flute, and the creepers and trees hear this flute song. Now, in the beginning, they want to hide their love for Krishna, but then when they hear the flute more and more, the Lord, whom they see directly before them as Nanda Kishore or Krishna, starts to manifest in their hearts. And this becomes visible in two ways, both an external way and an internal way. I think you should now listen very carefully, because when Krishna will manifest in your heart, this also becomes visible externally and internally. In Krishna consciousness, we want to be conscious of Lord Krishna. That means we want to experience how he manifests in our hearts. The first external manifestation is sweet juices are coming out of them. And fruits and flowers begin to cover the creepers and the trees of Vrindavan, because they feel so much love. So when a devotee feels love of Krishna in his heart, that means if he sees Krishna, usually he will start to cry, or his voice will choke, and he will engage in devotional service and offer the fruits of his service to Lord Krishna. Now, the other symptom was they feel so humble, the trees, which is that this humility is really the wealth of a devotee. When you should think in your life, when will I become wealthy? But not with novats and with muscles or with knowledge. The wealth of a devotee is his humility, deep humility, which arises out of the love within his heart. So these trees of Vrindavan, when they hear Krishna's flute play, they begin to bow down out of their humility. They come down to the ground. The devotees should be the same. They may be beautiful, they may be aristocratic, they may have a lot of money, like Murari Chaitanya. They may have a lot of influence, nice family members. They may be knowledgeable in the Vedas and study them and do also sacrifices. But they always remain humble, and they bow down. There are two types of obeisances which a devotee can do. One is the official obeisances. Please accept my pranams. But the obeisances of the trees of the and creepers of Vrindavan is not a formal or official obeisances. It is done with love, where they desire the blessings of Lord Krishna. When you pay your obeisances, you should do this with a feeling of deep love for Krishna, and you should desire his blessings in your life, to transform your life. Some very interesting lesson is here. They try, in the beginning, the trees and creepers, to keep Sri Vishnu or Nanda Kishore hidden in their hearts. But in the end, they can't do it. Their fruits show, their flowers show, and the juice which runs like tears out of their flowers shows it. In the same way, a devotee does not want to make a public spectacle of his devotion for Krishna. He will always try to hide it in his heart, almost like a housewife who has a romantic affair with a paramour, will try to hide this and not make it public to the world. But because the Lord is so much in their heart, he begins to pervade the inner and outer senses of a devotee so much that it shows. Please try it like the trees to protect the sanctity of your bhakti feelings by not making them a public demonstration, like it is done so much in India, either by the Sahajiya class of men or by those who want to show their advancement to the world. Whenever you show your advancement to the world, or even pretend to be advanced, everything good will leave you, and you will become a spiritually bankrupt personality. Yes. So, you can see these verses are explained by the gopis and amongst each other. These gopis experienced a constant festival of ecstasy by talking about Lord Krishna. They are so happy doing this that they sit together in their households and they hear Krishna's flute play from the distance, and they begin to discuss how the different living entities of Vrindavan respond to the flute play. By this, they chase away all the dark clouds of their separation from Krishna. My dear devotees, when you in this world, we can similarly enjoy a bright Krishna consciousness if we just hear about Lord Krishna and praise him in so many varieties of ways. We are all in a dark cloud, the dark cloud of separation from Krishna. And there's only one way to get this dark cloud of separation from Krishna to disappear out of our lives. It's to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna. Otherwise, the dark cloud will continue to disturb us in our lives until we finally die of cancer. Hare Krishna. So this was another verse from the wonderful. Do you see Bhakti Rasayana? It is Rasayana. If you can be alert and awake to the Katha, You feel inspiration in the heart, and you feel, wow, wonderful, hearing about Krishna directly. So we will now have we will hear it again. When the cows wander unto the mountain sides, and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute, the creepers and the trees in the forest respond by becoming so full with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. As their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of the ecstasy of love of God. And both the trees and creepers pour down a rain of sweet juice. Hare Krishna. So I think you can now slowly begin to understand the logic of the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. They guide us in a systematic way away from the world and into the Vrindavan world by describing us the different devotees of Vrindavan. And as we hear about the devotees of Vrindavan, we want to follow their moods and their understandings, and by this we are lovingly and violently drawn into feelings of bhakti. This is an illustration of the very nice verses. This is how this bhakti literature is set up and how it pulls us in. We will now make one last pause. It is now 20 minutes past 12. We will have another last pause for today. Then we will have a last session, and then we will end the Bhakti Rasayan Shloka meditation today. And you will have a free afternoon to chant and walk maybe in the very beautiful nature here, and to talk with many devotees about your heart's desire and how to fulfill them. And then in the evening at 6 o'clock, we all request you to be here well rested in your best Vaishnav dress, and please Lord, we are all with all the best. It's good enough for every situation. And then we will sing and praise Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. And for the day, this is about bees. Bees are very, very useful animals. I heard, Mayo, you are interested to have bees. Is this correct? Yes. This is very, very good. 50,000 members are available, up to 50,000. Many live just for 6 weeks. Each bee flies many miles each day to collect nectar, many miles, sometimes 20 kilometers. One honeybee, do you know how many flowers it visits a day? 500. To collect one load of nectar, this means a little drop of nectar for the beehives. You must know 1,000 of these drops make 1 teaspoon of honey. So you just consider, I think Madhva Muni has a mathematical brain, you know, one day the whole work is done to make 1/1000th of a teaspoon of honey. How much work they do, these bees. They require our great respect, Mario. You must admit our great respect. Such work, wow. And then they are so they are not really detached. When someone comes and takes the honey away, they are extremely attached, but they have to part from the honey. So we will hear about these bees of Vrindavan who are extremely unattached. They don't care so much about the honey, which we have heard about. They want more Krishna Katha, the honey of Krishna Katha. So you will hear about these. Ete linastafaya shokila lokatirtam gayanta adi purushanu patam bhajante brayo ami munigana bhavadiya mukya gudam vane pinayahat yanagatma daivam. Anagatma means the sinless one. O Krishna, original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories. These glories of yours are in themselves a holy place for the entire world. Although you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to give you up because you are their worshipable Lord. So, now we hear how the bees of Vrindavan are glorified. Usually in this world, worms and insects are not very much to be glorified. When we see a little worm, we don't say, "Worm, you are the most beautiful." Your tastes are so extravagant that we can make a fashion magazine from your tastes. We say, "Oh, worm, go your way, I go my way." We have nothing to learn from the worms and the insects, but the bees of Vrindavan are very special. This verse, you must know, is spoken by Lord Balaram, who praises his brother Krishna, who is going now into the forest. We have heard Krishna walked all over Vrindavan. Last he was on the hilltops, now he goes into the forest. We really follow Krishna along in our meditation. And there are some very important lessons for us to learn. The bees are all the time behind Lord Krishna. They follow him. They don't want to go anywhere else. And they chant Krishna's glories. Krishna's glories are here called Akila Loka Tirtha. It means a place of pilgrimage for the whole world. Hare Krishna. A long life for you. Normal holy places get overcrowded very easily. I think some of us have seen Vrindavan after a long time and not even recognized it. There is now even a cinema with these highly intelligent Hindi movies in Vrindavan. Many people are considering to buy some property in Vrindavan. At the present moment, Keshava Bharati is looking for international
financial support because there is some land available around the Bhaktivedanta Ashram at the site of Govardhan. Some of you might have seen this Govardhan Palace. Yeah? And he feels threatened because the people of Delhi want to go there and make skyscrapers there so that one can so that they can rent out the apartment for the many pilgrims who would like to go there. Ganga Mayi is not agreeable. We should send you to the people of Delhi so that you explain to them this. They think, oh, maybe a little high, we can look down on Govardhan. It is very beautiful. India. India, the holy and the profane. Profane or mundane? What is profane? Yeah. The holy and the profane. Sveta? Mundane, yes. Yes, yes. It's very close to each other very often. You go like, how is it possible? Actually, Nanda Dulal always laughs about it when he sees it because it's so, yes, this is India. the holy places can become overcrowded. But Krishna's glories can never become overcrowded. There's always space for you to chant them in any place of the world. So therefore, Balaramji describes Krishna's glories as places of pilgrimage. When you go to Krishna's glories and hear about them, your mind becomes purified, your heart becomes peaceful, and your intelligence sharp. You think, let me become a devotee. Hare Krishna. So in this way, the pilgrimages or the glories of Lord Krishna are also never overcrowded by sinful people's reactions. See, when you go nowadays to a holy place, you must be very careful. Sometimes you walk into it's almost like a pile of stool. It lies there in an invisible form. It's the sinful reactions which some people have lost there. You will find when you are in Vrindavan, you all of a sudden feel inexplicably bad. You have just walked maybe into a pile of sinful reaction which was left there by some karmi, Hare Krishna. Or some happy Hare Krishna devotee who just left his pile there and you have stepped into it. It's an energetic pile, huh? Which is there in an energetic way. It can well mean that you have stepped at the wrong place. So Krishna's glories can never be overcrowded with the piles of sinful reaction. It always works. Whenever you go and hear about Krishna, you become happy, Radha Kripa. So don't forget to hear about Krishna. Yes? This must be done. Yes. So it is said that the best, that the bees who followed Krishna were the best of sages and most elevated devotees. You may think, why? Listen to the answer. The bees never stop chanting. Whereas the other sages sometimes fall into ecstatic trance, and when they are in trance, they stop chanting. They cannot go on. But the bees are going on and never stop their chanting, even not out of ecstasy. Another reason why the bees are considered to be the best of Krishna's devotees is because they find him everywhere. Even when Krishna is hidden in the forest, they find Lord Krishna there. And a good devotee will also always find Lord Krishna in his life, even if he is sometimes hidden. Where is Krishna in this situation? Sometimes devotees ask. The best devotee says, there is Krishna, and wants to teach me a lesson.
Yes, they are not bewildered, the bees. They, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? Oh, there. And they find him. And they join him. To join Lord Krishna, they have, these saints who are in the bee form, have disguised themselves as bees so that they are always able to be with Krishna, because the residents of Vrindavan, they stay in the village when Krishna goes out, but the bees can be in the village, out of the village, everywhere. They always, they are great souls who always worship him in song. Mm-hmm. Now here Krishna is described by Shukadev as Anaghatma, sinless one, free from all faults. This is very important if you deal with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna once was approached by the gopis. The gopis wanted to go to the other bank of the river Yamuna. They wanted to cross the river, but the Yamuna was so deep that they couldn't cross. So they went to Lord Krishna and said, "We want to go to the other side of the Yamuna. Can you help us?" Krishna said, "Why do we want to go there?" "Very simple," said the gopis. "There is the saint Durvasa Muni. He has done so many austerities, and we want to go with our milk products, like milk sweets and so on, to give him a nice feast. After all, he has done so many austerities, and then we want to get the blessing of Durvasa Muni." They wanted to have the blessings to meet Lord Krishna. So Krishna said, "Well, it's very difficult to cross the Yamuna." "We know," said the gopis. "Can you help us?" Krishna said, "Well, there is only one thing. You have to go to the Yamuna and then say, 'Yamuna, give way.'" Make a pass, path. That means Yamuna had to stop flowing. "That's very difficult," said the gopis. "She is flowing since time immemorial." "No, no, she will stop flowing when you make a profound, truthful statement." "Okay," said the gopis, "what should we say?" "Say, 'Yamuna stopped flowing because Krishna is a brahmachari.'" A gopis laughed. "You are a brahmachari? Brahmacharis usually don't meet other men's wives in the middle of the night for dancing. This is highly unusual. Would you think of doing this, Gaurahari?" "No." "It is not within Gaurahari's mind. Atse, this is not your desire. No. Let us sleep in the night." "Yes." So brahmacharis don't think of... So the gopis were thinking, "You were dancing with us." But they had so much love for Krishna and faith. So they went to the Yamuna and said, "Yamuna, stop flowing." Yamuna was continuing to flow. Flow, flow, flow. Floaty, floaty, flow. Floaty, floaty, flow. She was just floaty, floaty, flowing. "Yamuna," said Srimati Radharani, "stop flowing." The waves went splash. "Why?" "Because Krishna is a brahmachari." Yamuna went and then they could see a wonderful pathway which was lined on the two sides with beautiful white crystal stones manifesting in the Yamuna, and they passed surrounded by big walls of water. They just went through carrying the pots, singing songs about Krishna. Then they went to Durvasa Muni, and they gave Durvasa Muni all the milk sweets. Durvasa Muni ate them all. He was very hungry. The gopi said, "But Durvasa, please bless us that we can meet the son of Nanda Maharaj." "Tatastu," said Durvasa. "Anything else you want?" "Yes, we forgot. We need to go back to Vrindavan, but there is the Yamuna. How can we cross the Yamuna?" "Oh," said Durvasa, "just say, Durvasa Muni only drinks the water of Durva grass." You know, grass which is soaked into water. Durva grass which is soaked into water. The gopis thought, "Durvasa, you just ate such a feast. You don't drink only Durvavas water, Durva grass water." But they thought, "Well, we have passed with one statement. Let us try with another statement." So they went back, and they could also pass the river Yamuna. Because the idea is, great personalities, especially the greatest of all personalities, Lord Krishna, is beyond the dualities of material life. The good and the bad, what we consider pious or impious, does not hold any relationship with Lord Krishna. Krishna is transcending all this. So Krishna is totally sinless, free from all faults, and that means that even sinful people can approach him and by contact with him become special. Just like the bees are ordinary insects, but when they ran behind Lord Krishna, they were considered to be the highest of all saints, better than all munis and rishis. So you should also know that if you somehow get in contact with Lord Krishna, worshipping him, you can worship him free from the fear of committing offenses, and just worship him like the bees, and Krishna will certainly give you protection at that time from distress. See, in Krishna consciousness, you must one day wake up. You must wake up to the point that Krishna is all you need. And Krishna can maintain and protect and care for you if you only take his full shelter. One day we all will have to wake up to this. Maybe in another life, maybe in many future lives. One day the time has to come for all of us where we surrender to Krishna exclusively. Like the munis, they understood Krishna is our everything, and they become bees. glorifying Lord Krishna. It's very important. I will now make another point. I will leave this beautiful bees of Lord, this scene of Lord Krishna standing in the forest with the bees around him. And I will make a point which is relevant, so that also the practical minded of you can have something where the mind can take shelter at. See, all of the devotees who are in this process of Krishna consciousness have most probably already worked on their spiritual evolution in their previous lives. That explains why, although the culture is so entirely different, the culture of Krishna consciousness is so entirely different than what they are accustomed to, they feel such strong attachment and attraction that they don't mind to even bow down as educated people before a Tulasi plant. This is some revolutionary activity. I remember when my Tata saw me the first time bowing down to Srimati Tulasi Devi. He was shocked. What are you doing? You would not bow down to anyone. Not even you would follow your old father. And now you're bowing down to a plant. Maybe it's a good herb, please, collect your sanity. A little bit sanity is necessary in life. I said, no, she is a great devotee of Krishna and can give us Krishna prema, Tata. But when he was, when he had left us, and I was thinking about this, how is it possible for a Westerner to bow down to Tulasi Devi? It's only possible if there is some deep Shraddha inside, some deep faith, which makes him cross his conditioned nature and enter into this. So it is, this amount of Shraddha doesn't usually come in one life. We can safely say that any truthful devotee who is sitting here with us today has worked on his evolution since a long, long lifetimes. See, the whole story of the creation moves towards evolution. Do you know this? To come to the human form of life, your consciousness needs to have taken in many, many experiences, so that finally you have a consciousness which can only be accommodated in the human form of life. Any human being is evolved through a long process of evolution. Of course, we see many human beings today who are on the way back, who are in the way of devolution. Not revolution, devolution. Or actually, you can even say they revolve back. They go back. They don't take chance of the human form of life. We often see that there's very groovy people who only think of Hare Krishna. We don't even want to say it. Just very mundane topics, mundane things. I remember I was once in a television emission in Nice. And so we had talked about very high subject matters, and then the announcer did something. He put like five extremely ordinary magazines together, which showed the undressed female body, and he held it up to make some advertisement for these. Foolish magazines, these Tama magazines, and when he looked towards me, what I would do if I would be shocked. But it was such a funny situation that although I had seen the cover of these magazines, the Tama magazines, something which is not good for a brahmachari to see, I was just laughing. It was so, because it didn't fit, you know. We had just talked about the very spiritual things, and then he went like, and here for the entertainment of our viewers, you know. And I went, how groovy these people are to find pleasure in this. You know, the poor girls who have no money and who get some one German mark for such a photo. Or 10, I don't know. I just, then the poor, the groovy people who'd find, must get this magazine very quickly. and so on. You could really see it didn't fit, and he also felt a little out of place. I'm sorry, you know, this is our work, you know. you could see people are either on this way or on that way. They either evolve or go down. So I can really tell, see as a preacher, the many people who have come in Krishna consciousness are very evolved people. They have very fine features, very fine thoughts, very fine. They're very highly placed people, pious. They eat only vegetarian things and so on. And you must go in the kitchen. Very good. And they are very special people. But Ali, thank you, Bhakti Garanta, for this new word. Ali means but. I thought only me duty means but. Ali. Ali in Hindi means the bee. In Sanskrit. Yes, it means bee. Maybe also in Sanskrit I can. No, I don't find it here. Anyway, it's not important at this moment. Ali. So they come to the same obstacles which they have faced last life. You know, when the real, after some time in spiritual life, we go on and there it is again. Our obstacle. Will we surrender this life or not? We have this in the life of Maharaj Bharata. Maharaj Bharata, as we know, made a mistake in his evolution. He became more attached to a deer than his spiritual practice. Then in the last, in the next life, he was born as a deer. This was a very strong attachment. And he knew that I must be very careful now, because in the deer, I most probably will run away with the deer, run around with the deer from morning till evening. So he said, I'm going to make it. I don't go into bad association. I will stay with the sadhus. There's another example which is even more clear of Bilva Mangala Thakur. In life before Bilva Mangala Thakur, he had been a serious monk who had also a very serious fall down with a due to his excessive sensual desires. So when he was born again, he was born in a very rich family, a very nice family of spiritualists, and he was practicing spiritual life from the beginning. But he again developed this attachment to illicit sex. He was married, and with his wife he could only live a pious life. It was a very exalted, wonderful lady. But he wanted more, and that's why he went to this prostitute. One day, after he had fought against a terrible monsoon storm, he arrived late in the evening at the house of the prostitute. And when the prostitute opened the door and saw her romantic man, you know, totally, you know, dirty and scratches all over his body. I saw the first fly in this year. Hare Krishna, you're an auspicious bringer of the spring. Stay for some time. Oh. So the prostitute at that time begin to talk, or better, it was not the prostitute, it was his spiritual master, Somagiri. The windows opened to the past, Somagiri was in the speaking through the prostitute and said, "My dear Bilva Mangala, if with the same determination which you used to fight for your material life, with that determination you would go for Krishna, you would by now be self-realized." See, the same obstacle which he had not mastered in one life came back that is, this excessive attachment to sensuality came back and waited for him to be overcome. In all of our lives, we will meet our obstacle, our granica. It will be there. Maybe we are too intolerant. Or maybe we remain attached to material life and sense enjoyment. Maybe it is that we just cannot have faith in Krishna. Maybe it is that our egos are so strong. Maybe it is that we are complicated and we remain complicated in a complicated life. Huh? Whatever it is, the obstacle will come into our lives. And it's the question, if we now go the road of compromise, that is, go back to material life, or if we make a realistic plan with the help of the Vaishnavas to go through this obstacle, and this time, in this life, become a devotee. Hare Krishna. Usually when such an obstacle comes, we need two things. We need to really want to cross the obstacle. Not that we play around and no. I want a little bit to cross the obstacle. When I'm in my good 5 minutes, then I want to cross the obstacle. We need to really want to cross the obstacle, and this means we need to make a strong picture in our mind of how we want to be in Krishna consciousness, how we want, what is our ideal life in Krishna consciousness. That's the first thing. These two things, we need to want to cross, and we need to have a very strong feeling what the life we want should look like. Second thing is, we need to pray to Krishna. Please show me my next step. The obstacle is very big. You know it better than me. Please show me my next steps. Every day we need to pray. And then Krishna, when he sees our jealous means desires. Jealous. Need to be so strong, and we need to have a clear concept of what we wish, and then if we pray for it, Krishna will surely help us. What do you think, Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu thinks it's possible. I have seen you praying every morning. I think you are praying for something, to become a good devotee or something like this. Yeah. Don't say it out loud. It must remain a secret. Yes? I have explained this at the disciple meeting in Germany and also in Croatia, because for a long time I had this strong feeling, why do so many devotees go? First, they are so enthusiastic, isn't it, Staksha? We have seen many coming and going, and we think, well, this will be the greatest Sveti Savats who ever was on the planet. Yeah. We feel like this when we see. But then, after some time, they go, they're disappointed. When you look in their face, it's dark. Boop. No light any longer in the eyes. And we ask ourselves, what is something wrong with the with our process or with Krishna consciousness? Well, you should know it's a very, very old tradition, which has come through the thousands and millions of years to us. It is wonderful. But it is that mostly devotees come and make advancement, solid advancement, but then there comes this obstacle, and not all of them can find it in their heart to cross these obstacles. We should not be
make life difficult for such devotees who couldn't cross. We should understand this, and we should be happy that at least they have made it up till here. They have made some advancement, and they will continue in the next life to make advancement where they stopped, to continue with their advancement where they stopped. So these saints here, these bees, are great saints. They have even changed their bodies to become bees to be with Krishna. They only want Krishna. They follow Krishna everywhere. This is our goal. We want to become like bees. The saints who became bees are our example. I think by now you understand more and more what we talked in the first lesson, that we need to follow devotees of Krishna in order to reach Lord Krishna. In the first lesson, where I introduced the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas to you, I read a verse from the Nectar of Instruction, which said to us that the essence of all advice is to chant nicely about the glories of Krishna, to live in Vrindavan, and to follow the devotees there. And now I think we more and more begin to understand by hearing about the cloud devotees, about the bee devotees, about the tree devotees. But don't worry, we will hear very soon. Tomorrow I will start with the devotees of Krishna in the human form of life. Because then it's more easy if we are not used to so much Vrindavan Katha. Because we might say, bees, I can't follow bees really, it's too much, you know, it's too totally unexpected. But tomorrow we will start with the cowherd boys. Hare Krishna. We will now look at Balaram Ji's beautiful wristwatch. Thank you, Balaram Ji. We have a little time for questions, and then we will. Yes. How?
How he can become completely convinced in Krishna.
Yes. Drugi put pitanje malo later. Yes. I'm trying really. This is such a beautiful language, but maybe one day I will go in a language school here, but I will be bored most probably to death after the first hour. How to become totally convinced in Krishna consciousness? Thank you very much for this beautiful question. It is a very nice question, I think, which we all want. Rupa Goswami says there are a couple of steps which a devotee must take to become convinced in Krishna consciousness. When he has a first initial Shraddha, this Shraddha of faith brings him into the association of devotees. Like you have now found in your heart some Shraddha, let me go to this amazing seminar where we hear about bees and trees and rivers and so on. There's some Shraddha. The next thing, then he comes into the association of devotees. And at this moment, he can go one of two ways. He can just follow the externals of the devotees, frisura, neck beads, sitting style, you know, how to sit on the floor, and so, or he can actually begin to follow the moods of the devotees. He can
begin to follow, how do the devotees think? How do they relate to Krishna? What do they do? And this way, follow the example of the devotees. That will help him to come to the next stage of deep spiritual practice. After he has come to the state of deep spiritual practice, the obstacles will come. It's called the anattas, which I have discussed to you. They will come after some time, like the army of the enemy, durum, 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 from all the hills, durum, 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 we are here again. So at that time, a devotee, when the obstacle comes, must take shelter in two things. One is, he must hear about Krishna. Very important. If he stops hearing about Krishna, he is lost. And the other thing is, he must practice Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna in the way he can do. And then, after some time, he will enter into the beautiful country of firm faith. He is convinced, in other words. It's called Nishta in Sanskrit. Please all go this journey. From Shraddha to Nishta, it's very important. From an initial faith to Nishta, which is a very fixed, strong conviction, such a devotee cannot be shaken by doubts any longer. So let us see if there is someone else who has a question. I remember your name is Vedran with the computer, yes. Yeah.
I couldn't get
the point.
The point, yes. How is it connected?
The point of the story is that great personalities do not obey the laws which are restricting those of us who work in the world of matter. See, who are in material life. Dovasha Muni was obviously not fasting. He had eaten a huge feast. But his feast is different from your feast. When you eat a feast, you are very heavy in the stomach. First light, you feel you are so intoxicated, you can embrace trees, and then very heavy. When these great souls do anything, they do not become affected the way we become affected. And therefore, we can say, if they eat or not eat, they remain on the same platform of fasting. The same with Krishna. And Krishna dances with the gopis, which is usually an activity of a sensualist, to dance with so many women that we find only in the discotheque. And really not so many are there for one man. Usually, I don't know, I was not in the discotheque for a long time. But when Krishna dances with the gopis, he is totally transcendental. Once, there was one man, one professor, who came to Prabhupada and said, I think Krishna is immoral. He has 16,108 women. I mean, this is really a little bit exaggeration, you know. So Prabhupada was very disturbed because someone had attacked Krishna. He said, but he it didn't show. Prabhupada said, how many women do you have? And maybe the professor had one concubine and one legally wife, married wife, you know.
Professor said, of course, only one. And then Prabhupada told to him, you are the immoral person. You have kidnapped your wife from Krishna. All the women in the world are parts of Krishna. Krishna is the only mush, the only husband. Everyone, are his energies are emanating from him and should serve him only. You are the criminal who are having kidnapped one wife. So, the point in this story is that although Krishna and the great personalities may be seen in ordinary eyes to be on the ordinary level, they are on the transcendental level. And therefore, Yamuna gave way to the gopis to cross her. Thank you, Vedaran, for this beautiful question. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai.
I wanted to ask, this seminar is giving us, is helping us remember Krishna and creating deep samskaras. But I was wondering, is there a way to eradicate past samskaras? Because I don't think I will forget the simple activities of my life. Maybe past life. Uh-huh.
Ganga Mayi asks a very relevant question. What is about our past sangskaras? Do they disappear? Ganga Mayi, I found out after 33 years of Krishna consciousness, I still know I can't get no satisfaction. It's a musical piece of the Rolling Stones. I was surprised. Do you know I can't get no satisfaction? This song, I think, it is known. Do the younger people also know? Nevana? No? Even the pious Nevana? And I was thinking, oh no, what to do? Here I am, a Swami, Sannyasi. Beginning of the song, yes. Will I ever become Krishna conscious, or should I give it up? Well, these are deep things, you know. I was 12 years and I was thinking, this is the truth, you know, I can't get no satisfaction, it is really true. And I was shaking and dancing happily as a little boy, it went very deep. My heart was so open for any influence. Is it really a problem that there are these sangskaras? We have to ask the question, is it really a problem? I think it's a memory which is there, and we can do what devotees do. We can Krishnarize it. No? We can sing. I can get satisfaction. Because I chant. I am getting satisfaction. We can spiritualize it. There's a memory, and we can do something with it. When it's harmful, the memory, we don't allow the memory to do this with us, to pull us down. We just use it in a good way. I have so many sangskaras of what I have read before in my life, and I'm using it in my preaching. Now I have used the stones in my preaching. to you. I think the memories are just there, and it's not a matter of trying to forget them. Oh no, there is no Beethoven, though there is no Goethe, there is no Freud, there is no this and that what we have read or heard. But it is a matter of this is there, this is the material energy. If it can be used in Krishna's service, I will use it. If it cannot be used, I will just let it on the shelf of the past. When we say we have to exchange the sankskaras, we mean something else. We mean that we get deep Krishna conscious samsaras, which are deeper than the old sankskaras, and then they don't disturb us any longer. But most properly, the memories will be there. I found out really after I'm now almost becoming an old man, getting gray hair slowly, I can see them. Lots of memories are still there. Lots of, like when I was a child, and I remember I was living on an island, and I was often going in the winter at this time. I would walk on the ocean because it was frozen. I would just walk around and feel just very happy, and make something so that I could run and then go look. You know, I can remember all the things of my childhood. It was a happy childhood, they're still there, and we can use them in Krishna's service when they're useful. If not, we say, The problem is the attachment to the sankskaras, and this can be a barometer of our advancement. When you're very attached to the old sankskaras, then it shows you're not on a very high spiritual level. But see, there is an example of a great devotee who says he was a king, Kulashika, was his name Kulashika? I just forgot. He remembers he had a lot of association with the opposite sex. And he says, when I remember these things, and he says something to the effect, I'm no longer interested in this life. So the sankskara is still there. He can remember when he was not a monk, but a king who was living a materially oriented life, and he can remember this. It didn't go away. Who says this? Yamunacharya, yes, Yamunacharya. Great Acharya, he can remember this. When I remember this, but he reacts without attachment to this. And this is possible when you are on the plane of Krishna consciousness. So the idea is not to forget your past. In some ways, we say forget the past means we don't want to be involved in the same way. Thank you for this beautiful question. And continue to listen about Krishna, because Krishna will become more, when we speak about Krishna and we hear this, we think, oh yeah, we have some more information, Krishna becomes more real for us. Dobro. So I think I will now end. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you about Krishna. Tomorrow is a very important session. I will really need to prepare the session a little bit. I will want to teach you a wonderful new method to read in Prabhupada's books, so that you can make more deep impressions. And we will apply this lesson, this lecture, then immediately.